A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Signs will appear in sun and moon and stars. On earth, nations will stand helpless, not knowing which way to turn from the roar and surge of the sea. People will faint with terror at the thought of all that is coming upon the world, for the celestial powers will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When all this begins to happen, stand upright and hold your heads high, because your liberation is near. Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree, or at any other tree. As soon as it buds, you can see for yourselves that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all this happening, you may know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, the present generations will live to see it all. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be on your guard. Do not let your minds be dulled by dissipations and drunkenness and worldly cares, so that the great day catches you suddenly like a trap. For that day will come on everyone, the whole world over. Be on the alert, praying at all times, for strength to pass safely through all that is coming, and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. God's word is life.
So today marks the beginning of the season of Advent. Advent from the Latin Adventus, meaning coming. Something's coming. And what's coming is deeply promising. What's coming is shalom, a vision of well-being brighter than any dream. A new creation, we call it. For it is such a radical rearrangement, a total transfiguring of what we know. It's coming. And it's not yet. So Advent is this season that summons our patience. We're waiting. And we're waiting in the face of so much that just screams, forget your waiting, don't be naive, can't you see, it's hopeless. Something's coming, that's the wild insistence of Advent in the face of the scream. Something's coming, that's the whisper of Advent in the face of the scream. It's a whisper because it's not bent on drowning out the scream. It's not that arrogant. It's not so full of itself that it can't allow another voice, another presence in the room. It's not that insecure. No. Advent arrives with a generosity of spirit. Advent comes with a steady nerve so as to not be chased off the field by danger or dread. In fact, so steady is the nerve of Advent as to open up a space for the danger to be felt, the dread to be realized. And so it is that we are ushered into the season by such a passage as this one Sylvia reads to us this morning from Luke's Gospel, with its call to see what is in front of us, to wake up to what is happening, as terrifying and as horrific as it is. In prophetic language that sounds distressingly contemporary, Jesus describes a world reeling in pain, roaring seas, distressing war among nations, people fainting in fear. knowing our instinct, of course, will be to run and hide. What do we hear Jesus say? When all this begins to happen, he says, stand upright, hold your heads high, for your liberation is drawing near. Something's coming. Redemption's on its way. It won't feel like it. Quite the opposite. But it's exactly then that it matters that you stay present. So be on your guard, Jesus says. Don't give in to terror. Don't despair. Don't capitalize on the chaos. So you can see it, can't you? Advent isn't about soothing our anxiety, shielding us from grief. Advent is about drawing on the courage that Jesus holds out to us to face into the sorrow and the scandal that is bubbling more and more to the surface these days, begging for our attention. Jesus lends us such courage as enables us to touch into the suffering in our world, to hear the cries of desperation, to witness the degradation of peoples, of the planet. For it is in venturing toward, not away from the pain, that empathy is free to rise up, moving us to care, to say yes to another's need. This morning, Layla is with us. Layla, who arrived a little over a year and a half ago from Iraq, where she had fled from Syria. And how did Layla come to be here? It was when all those images, you remember them, thousands upon thousands of people fleeing Syria, these images that began to show up in the media. And our hearts were broken open and we found ourselves compelled to respond. It's through that kind of empathetic connection that our longing is ignited for something different. It's through that kind of empathetic connection that the smoldering embers of our hope for a new future can be fanned into an eruption of love. Which is why, in the face of all that is so troubling, Jesus says, don't hide, but pray for strength to be present. For deep in the gathering dark, something hidden and tender continues to grow. Yearn for it, wait for it, notice it, imagine it, join it. Trust that something beautiful, some great goodness is struggling to emerge. Welcome to Advent. Or better, I should say, Advent welcomes us. And it's not for the faint-hearted as we venture more deeply into the darkness. And so it is for us to listen to her hopeful, insistent whisper, something's coming. Something's coming. Something's coming.
Amen. So the worship team this year, in our planning for the season, is eager that there would be particular story each week that we would have connecting with the theme that we're immersing ourselves in. So today, and for today, we were looking for a story of hope, choosing hope. And actually, without giving it a whole lot of thought, Layla popped into my mind. I thought it was a bit of a long shot. So Alexa was in touch, and Layla comes back with this just very easy, I would love to do that. So Layla and I had a visit last night. It's the first time that I met with Layla in her own apartment. And I walk into the living room, and on her living room wall, a third of it, has this banner across the top, Hope. And I don't think Layla just kind of got busy between the time Alexa was in touch, and it's been this wall of hope that has been created and is growing and being filled out since her arrival. So, Layla has a story or many of hope, of choosing hope. And so, Layla, it's with warmth and gratitude that we would invite you to share something of your story of hope this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm nervous a little bit. Okay. Before, I think today, Alexa sent me a message that she wanted me to talk about hope. For people who don't know me here, my name is Leila, and I'm from north of Syria, who I called Kurdistan, my place. In 2014, I did escape from Syria to Iraq. It was a tough night. I did tell Karen yesterday I didn't hate that night because it was dangerous or I have risk and it was tiring. But the feeling to be escaped from country to other country, I think it was hurting my humanity. I did feel like, I don't know. It was really, really hard for me that night. And after that, later, after 2 years, my family did escaped from Kurdistan to Germany. They passed Kurdistan to Turkey and other country, and they arrived to Germany. And they asked me to come with, like, go with them or went to with them. Yeah, went. I wasn't able to do this again. I said, no, I will stay there. It was tiring, hard. It wasn't easy to live in a community whose it was on like almost about a man and a girl like me working by herself, living by herself in Iraq. It was not easy, but I don't know. Maybe it's hope who's make us to continue. So I think hope it's more about this word give us power to continue. I think the hope who keep us living, doing, working to find what we're looking for. Yeah, and I did work, several work. I don't know how many work I did work over there. Even I don't like cook, I work as assistant chef. Yeah, I have to work. Yeah, and to be Syrian, it wasn't easy. I have Syrian nationality, and I did find good job, and like good salary. And I was thinking, if I get this job and stay with this job, I'm not leaving. I will stay with my family, with my friends, and everything. And suddenly, they tell me that my nationality not allow me to work anymore. It was like big down for me. I feel like everything get broken. I didn't work for 3 months. It was unusual. Yeah, and after that, my friend, she was applying to refugee United Nations, and they come accept her to be a refugee in United States. And she mentioned to me and another friend. My other friend, she living in Australia right now. I'm here. And the friend who has started the application, she is in Syria still. Yeah. I think I don't want to talk about my life a lot, but I just want to say and share what the hope meaning for me. It was, I think hope it's mean life. I think all of people with me and my family and every people in Middle East have hope to be to find better life on this war end and this situation's gone and everything be more comfortable to live. Yeah, I think I was hoping to find better chance to work, to live, to make a family, to do everything. And when I went to United Nations, they tell me Canada is the only country who accept refugee at that moment, like at that time when I apply. And I didn't know anything about Canada before. It was okay. Anyway, I was done there. Anything happened, it doesn't matter. I'm going. Okay, I'm going to Canada. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anyone. I'm coming by myself. I was single at that point. Yeah. I think people like you also give us hope, making hope. I've been here several times. I find these people coming together, having small chat or small conversations, supporting each other. I think this is also when you coming together, thinking about some other people, that's give us hope. And for me, people from this place, like Alexa, Judy, Franklin, Ellen, Rose, I don't know how many person involved to bring me here, but I appreciate all of them, and they are my only family here. In first 6 months, I wasn't belong. I was struggling. I did have complication situation with my husband, who I didn't announce when I come, because I didn't have an interpreter in airport in Montreal, and the organization didn't explain how that working. And I was really, it was hard on me. Me and Alexa and Judy and Rose, we did see many lawyers to bring him here. All of them, they were saying no. Like, I was just looking for hope. Somebody give me some hope. Like, something make me, yeah, I'm staying here, I'm working here. This life, it's be my life here. They didn't give me any hope. I was really broke-hearted at that time. And one day, Ruth gave me this word, hope. I put it in my wall, and Karen see it. It's nice word. It's give us the power to continue. If you don't have hope, you don't have anything. You need something make you keep going. I think it's a small word, but have a lot of power. I think this hope who make me stay until now, I have hope to bring my husband. And these people, this family who I have here, they give me this hope, and they help me a lot. They support me in every step I do it here, with everything. They give me hope, and I think everyone here taking hope from the other person beside him. Like, you will take in hope from anything, but you need to find your hope. The hope, it's not impossible. When you hope in something, you ask him for. I'm asking for my husband. I'm hoping to bring him here. I think God tell us, ask for what you want. I will give it to you. I'm not a religion person, by the way, but I have belief in God. I have belief that everything you want, I don't know what this power, it will make it true. And I have hope to bring Ahmed here. I'm working on it, and my family working on it. And I didn't mind speak here because mostly I know all the faces here. I come here several times. I'm not good at speech. My English not good. But I have hope you understand. Yeah. And for your hope and my hope and all of people in the world, let's light this candle and everyone hope what he wants.